Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madhi Channel, welcome back to an amazing journey of the soul. Now they wrongly say, YOLO, you only live once, when they refer to this worldly life. But in one context it is true, because the soul never dies. It moves from one place to another. The body doesn't only live once, because, as we've learned from previous episodes, you will be resurrected. The creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah Azza wa Jal, will bring the body back together. The soul will be put back into it, and then you will be held accountable. And that accountability, amazingly, is dependent upon this short 60-year life in between. And your time in the grave, your time on the plains of resurrection, your accountability, the bridge of Sirat, everything, and then eternal damnation to the fire of hell, or eternal bliss in the gardens of paradise, is dependent on those 60 years, which is but a little dot on the scale of the life of your soul. And yet we invest everything in this world and little for the hereafter. And alhamdulillah, in this beautiful Silsila of Madni channel, we've taken you on this journey to put this life into perspective. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the ability to recognize where we're going. Let me start with a blessing of reading Durood-e Paak from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, whoever recites Durood-e Paak upon me one time, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Whoever recites Durood-e Paak upon me 10 times, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 100 blessings upon him. And whoever recites Durood-e Paak upon me 100 times, Allah Azza wa Jal writes between both of his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. And on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will raise him and keep him with the martyrs. Allahu Akbar. What a great privilege that will be. Not only by recitation of Durood-e Paak do you protect yourself from the fire of hell, but you get the added honor of being with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let me introduce my two resident guests, mashallah. Shiraz Bhai, our learned scholar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And our lovely Bisharat Bhai, Allah Ta'ala, aapko jazade. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mashallah. Now, the topic we have for today is a very, very important one. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gave good news of glad tidings. But Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was also a warner. Mubashshiran wa nazira. He was also the warner. And one of the biggest warnings that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gave us was in relation to hell, Jahannam. And today we will learn what this is. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
There is a creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and when it's brought out, 70,000 chains, and on each chain, 70,000 angels pulling it. And yet this creature that is created by Allah Azza wa Jal is so powerful that it's taking almost 5 billion angels to control it. What is it? It is Jahannam. Now, a lot of the time we have this concept in our minds that it's the fire of hell, it's just a fire. It isn't. It is much more than that. It is a world. It is a world with valleys. It is a world with trees. It is a world where there is water, where there is food. It is a world that is heavily guarded. It is a world in charge of which Hazrat Malik alayhi salam, from the day he set eyes on the fire of Jahannam, the world of Jahannam, he hasn't smiled since. This is how serious this is. Shirazbi, the fire of hell. It's described simply as a fire. But it's much more than that, isn't it?
In the dunya, we see that. We have the red, we have the blue, red, the yellow flame. And then when it's really hot, it gets to like a white flame. But we've never seen it get to the black flame. Not in the dunya anyway. We've not
Allah
seen that flame get to the black. So from going from red, then yellow, then white, we've seen that so far in the dunya. But now this black, and it's such black that it absorbs light. So it will absorb light. So there will not be any light in that fire.
So it's not a foreign concept that actually, as you said that, it came to mind. Because we know the astronomers tell us there are these black holes which are infinitely dense and infinitely hot and light can't escape. So that is a scientific phenomenon.
So them laws are in the universe for us to see. So like, you know, if someone was to go against it and said this is not possible, but it is, Allah gave us that, them laws in the universe for us to say that, okay, this is possible. So Allah has created this Jahannam a long time ago, and it was ignited the first time, then second time, then third time for 1,000 years each, to such that its heat has intensified to such a state where it is black. And that heat is such that if you take a needle and you was to make a hole inside the door of hell, and now you know the size of that needle is probably a millimeter, less than that. For that heat to escape from that door and enter into the world, the smell and the heat of that will destroy the world.
Oh,
that's how hot and intense the fire of hell is. Like you mentioned, the food, the nourishment for the Jahannami people, inshallah, we'll get on to. There are trees, but what sort of trees? The cactuses. Cactus, even looking at a cactus in the dunya, is scary. Now these cacti in Jahannam will be such that they are huge, like, you know, the size of mountains, and this will, just looking at them will scare the people. That itself is a punishment. It will, send terror through the people of hell. There are mountains in this Jahannam. Once again, there are angels, securitying Jahannam. The hellish people, there will, for example, one hellish person in hell, the distance between each one of them will be the distance of 3 days. I.e. that's how large this hellfire is. I.e. from one hellish person to the next, it will take 3 days to get to him. But you will hear his screams from where he is. You will hear his screams. So the people screaming at the bottom of the hellfire, the guys at the top will be able to hear. That's how painful this punishment will be.
There was some mention that the guardians of the fire of hell, when the people scream, say somebody's being tortured in a room or something, and that's an incident, coincidentally, that's another thing that we're told, that these are kind of areas, you know, like on earth you have countries and cities and towns and areas all split up in different kind of boundaries. And similarly, in hell, which is very easy to kind of cut out the concept. You know, it's funny, when it comes to Jannat, we want to know all the individual nooks and crannies, and we want to be told about the mountains and the you know, the pearls and the corals and everything else. But when it comes to Jahannam, very selectively, the mind thinks, fire of hell, that's it. But actually, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a very detailed description. I mean, there was that famous hadith in Mubarakah, where Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sat with the companions and there was a loud thud, a bang. And Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this was a stone that was dropped into the fire of hell 70 years ago, and it's just hit the bottom.
And certain hellish people, the hell dwellers, they will be forced, now in that heat, without food and water. Yani there is, you know, cactus that will eat the cactus, but it has thorns. It won't quench or it won't fulfill their nourishment. So they'll eat it, but they still remain hungry. When it goes to their throat, it will give pain to their throat. And they will remember in the dunya, when I ate something and it was stuck in my throat, I drink water and it'll flush it, flush my throat for me. So now in the hellfire, they will have blood and pus to drink. Now that will make, you know, their stomach and their mouth burn even more.
I just want to put it into context though, because obviously we've had accountability. The good souls have gone on across the bridge of Sirat and they have gone into Jannah. And these are the bad souls which fell down from the bridge of Sirat and they are in the fire. But there are levels, there are grades, there are, you know, categories of so-called prisoners, aren't there?
Yes, yeah, so, you know, for example, if you take it all the way back to the very first episode, because what will happen is, Allah SWT on the Day of Judgment, there will be a specific person going into the fire of hell. And Allah, he will have the lightest punishment. And Allah will say to the one who is getting the lightest punishment on the fire of hell, that if you had everything in the world, would you sacrifice it to escape this punishment? And he will obviously reply, yes, I'd give everything in the world if I had had it in, you know, I would sacrifice it to, you know, get away from this punishment. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said that I did give you everything in the world.
Allahu Akbar.
And he says, do you not remember in Alamul Arbah when we made a promise? And what was the promise? That you will only worship me. This deal that we made, this was everything in the world. You would have had Jannat, but you went away from that. So now this specific person in the hadith is mentioned, he will attain the lightest punishment. And what is the lightest punishment? That he would have the shoes made from the fire of hell, which the heat will be so intense that his brain will boil from wearing these shoes. So that will be the lightest punishment, or well, one of the lightest punishments. Some people, the fire will just go up to their knees, some people up to their waist, and then some their chest, some will be completely in the lowest part of the hell, which is called Wail.
I also came across mention of the people of the fire of hell, the people of hell will have garments of metal. And one of the things that struck me was, obviously, if it's very hot, metal becomes extremely hot as well. And this torment keeps going, doesn't it? I mean, it's constantly renewing.
The ayat, perpetual. You know, there's one ayat, and the word used is ahqaba, that these people that will stay in the fire of hell for ahqaba. Now, the word huqab, it means 80,000 years. This one huqab is 80,000 years. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned the plural. Now in Arabic, the plural is 2 plus, so unlimited amount. So Allah says that they will stay in there for 80,000 of years. So they will feel as if, okay, my 80,000 years are coming to an end, but they don't realize that this is now infinite. But they will process it in stages of 80,000.
And that's a punishment in itself. If you have a prisoner who you say you've got 30 years in prison, when it gets to the end of the 30 years, he's waited 30 years, you know, through all the punishments, persevering, and then suddenly he gets told, right, you've got another 30 years. That in itself is another punishment as well, and that's why the glorious Quran refers to the 80, and then it carries on perpetually increasing.
Sadr al-Sharia, Mawlana Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he mentions regarding that particular pit of hell, and he says, in hell there's a valley that is so horrific that even hell itself seeks refuge from his severity.
Allah.
And that valley is called Veil, and it's for those, and you know, this is where we learn that there's going to be particular punishments in place for people who commit certain sins. So this particular punishment that will take place in this particular place would be for those who deliberately miss their namaz.
Allahu Akbar. I mean, that's a very good direction that Bashar Azhar has taken us in, because people will be in the fire of hell. Okay, their deeds were, you know, not enough to take them anywhere near Jannah, and they've been destined to the fire of hell. But now there are levels, there are different levels depending on the sins they did, the disobedience of Allah, those who were more disobedient, those who were arrogant, those who were tyrants, those who killed people, okay, and did all sorts of nasty things there in the lower valleys, those in the higher. But you said this shouldn't be a consolation for anybody, because even the lightest punishment is wearing shoes of the fire of hell, made from hell, which make the brain boil, and that's the lightest severity. There are trees in Jahannam, aren't there, with these fruits on them, so they think, okay, I'll eat that. When they eat it, it will get stuck in their throat and it will be bitter, and then the next thing they'll want is water. So they will ask for water, and so I assume that, because there is a ayah mubarakah of the glorious Quran which mentions that they will ask for water and water will be given to them. So I assume there are utensils in Jahannam as well to provide this water, and when they drink, the water is so scalding hot that it not only melts the outside, but melts the inside as well. And that is their drink and their food.
And now, you know, Jahannam, okay, there's the hot part of it, but now there's a freezing part of it as well, where it is so cold,
Zam-e-Harir,
it is so cold that the person's body, you know, because when something becomes cold, it shrinks, becomes smaller. Now it is so cold that his body will shrink such that it just crumbles, and then he will be put back together again, and then he will freeze and crumble again. And once again, he will be that massive size, so it'll be, his normal body will be turned into a giant's body. So it's not just heat and you know, that heat and the pain of the heat being given to the body.
And that, in a scientific context, is quite amazing, because those viewers of my channel who know about the science, the coldest you can get to on Earth in scientific terms is -273, and that is where the particles basically freeze and don't move, because every particle is moving at any temperature above that. But the temperatures in Zam-e-Harir, I mean, there's no restriction, is there?
No restriction.
And therefore, it absolutely freezes to the point of it just disintegrates.
It's mentioned, you know, the...
So every particle, though, this is the interesting bit, you see. Because if you hurt the body, you hurt here, but there are billions of atoms and molecules in my body, and billions of protons and electrons and everything else. But if you get down to those minus temperatures, every single atom will hurt because it breaks. So that's pain at a level that is unimaginable. And these are the punishments, you know, for the deeds we did. I mean, they're directly related, isn't it? It's not an indirect kind of transverse graph or something. This is a straight connection.
Definitely.
What deeds?
Sorry. So, like, for example, like missing, you know, like drinking alcohol. This is like, you know, today in general, you know, our youngsters, the public, alcohol is one of those, is becoming overlooked now. Our Muslims, you know, running off licenses and whatnot. It's becoming like a, you know, TK, he's earning his money. There's like now the mentality is such a rumba, it's so devastating, it hurts a person. People have these, you know, phrases on their tongue that, why should I let my child suffer with hunger just to please my creator?
Astaghfirullah Rabbi.
You know, shadid kufr. And this is like, people like, this is how it is in the public now. And
I've had people who've said to me, during namaz, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, but Bachinin Indani Puriyoni, so he doesn't pray his fajr.
And then for school or going to the airport.
For work and everything else. Yeah, and early. You know, and then these people, when the children start to disobey them, they get angry. When they were, the children were disobeying Allah and His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they turned a blind eye. Jahannam has, you know, we know that Jannat has 8 doors, and you know, different people will be called through different doors. So, for example, the one who fasted will be called through one door. The one who protected his salah through one. There's different doors. And the one who gave in the way of Allah Azzawajal through a different door. And it is the great Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu who will have the honor and the privilege that all 8 doors of Jannah will be open for him. What about Jahannam? How many doors?
I think there were 7 doors for Jahannam. 7 doors. And then 7 levels.
7 levels as well.
7 levels. So different portals are for different ranks of the evil people in the past.
So there is 7 levels depending upon the severity of your disobedience in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. There will be difference, and there will be, and this is the scary part, these are not only the disbelievers we're talking about, there will be Muslims in there who at some point had iman, but they chose to disobey Allah. And this is, I use my word very carefully. They chose, didn't they? When we have a choice, don't we? I have a choice if I'm going to get up for Fajr or not. Allah has given me that power. And it's that choice which brings with it not only...
Yeah, you know, in the Quran, for example, one of the specific people who will be punished in the fire of hell is that person who has killed a Muslim amadan, purposely. So like you said, he has chose to kill a Muslim. So now because he has done that, his punishment will be Jahannam. Now, you know, proving the point you mentioned that he has intentionally, purposely, not sahvan, he didn't do it neglectfully or he wasn't conscious or, you know, he mistakenly killed someone. He purposely went forward and killed someone. His punishment will
be. So basically, the punishment there is directly related to your amal, but Allah just gave you the choice. A lot of people get confused by this because they think, well, Allah Ta'ala decreed everything. No, that is the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Supreme Creator, that He knows what you're going to do.
The Sahaba Ikram, they asked, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know, everything has been written. Sahaba Ikram said that, أَفَلَا نَتَّكِلُ عَلَىٰ كِتَابِنَا, that shall we not just sit back and depend on our book? Jannat is destined for us, we'll go into Jannat. If Jahannam is, then God forbid. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. بَلْ كُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ, that everything is made easy for the purpose he was created for. So if Jannat is his destiny, then good deeds will become easy for you. If Jahannam is your destiny, bad deeds are easy for you. Now it's your choice in between them. If, for example, now for a practicing person, getting up for Fajr is simple. Fasting 30 days, you don't feel it. No matter what the temperature, no matter what time the sehri is, for a practicing person is very simple for him. Respecting parents and so, making halal rizq is very simple. Now that person, the Prophet ﷺ said that he knows what his destiny is, because it has been, you know, in the dunya you have been shown your destiny by you doing good deeds. So your end will be of the same. And if a person, for example, he finds it easy to backbite, he finds it easy to drug deal, finds it easy to drink alcohol, and etc., all the different types of bad deeds, he knows where he will end up.
I'm in this world for 60 years. You know, let's lay it bare clean. I'm in this world for 60 years. Every one of us, everybody watching at home today, you know, around the world, everybody knows that namaz is a farz, it is obligatory upon me, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered it. It's mentioned over 750 times in the glorious Quran, and that on the day of judgment, I will be held accountable for it. And if my namaz isn't complete, I will be sent to the fire of hell. But in the fire of hell, I will end up in the valley of Wail. And in the valley of Wail, I will be punished, and there will be snakes, scorpions, anacondas. This is a full world with trees and everything else. It's horrific, it's dark and everything else, and I will spend a long time there. If I die in the state of Iman, then eventually, after thousands of, maybe millions of years of serving my punishment, I will eventually be taken out by the blessings of the Nalani Pak and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if I don't die on iman because of my activities, if I'm thinking I'll repent later and I die in that state, then I'm eternally stuck there, aren't I?
Yeah. I mean, where does it all start as well? We've kind of covered this in previous episodes, is a person when he passes away, like the Prophet ﷺ says, when he enters his grave, it's either going to be a pit from the pits of hell,
Allah,
it's going to be a garden from the gardens of paradise. So straight away, a person will understand where the final abode is going to be. So when they're in the grave, they will see, like, you know, we've mentioned that the window of Jannat will open for them. They'll be able to, you know, see Jannat. They'll be able to feel the breeze of Jannat. And that would quickly close, and then the window of Jahannam will open. And vice versa for the person who's a good soul, a good person that's passed away, and that person will still get to see Jahannam, but that will close for him, and the window of Jannat will open for him, and he will then be within the breezes and the comforts of Jannat.
I mean, one thing that hits me is you cannot deny Jahannam.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot deny hell, because it is in the glorious Quran, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has given us a clear description of it. And one of the attributes of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he was a warner. And Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us of this. So it's not like you can say, well, it may exist or it may not. This is the haditha mubarakah that you are quoting, that I am quoting, that Bisharat Bhai is quoting. It's factual.
Definitely.
This is what it's like. So why are we so ignorant of it? You know, on the night of Mi'raj, you know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, where Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown all the amazing wonders of the world and the creation of Allah azza wa jalla, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saw the palaces of Jannah, and the palace of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, the beautiful palace of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, etc. At the same time, the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was shown this world of hell. And I don't think from now on I'm ever going to call it the fire of hell, because it gives you a wrong concept. It's a world of hell, isn't it? It's a full kind of
diamond,
almost a planet in itself. Mm. But a planet is small. I mean, this is huge, you know. And it's this separate world, which is full of torment and, you know, difficulties and forever, eternal damnation. Now, I've got this right in front of me, where people ate the property of orphans, and they would be chewing red hot stones, and they would swallow them, and they'd come out of their backs, and the shapes of their lips were... So this is where, you know, halal and haram doesn't matter, the property of orphans doesn't matter. A man swimming in a river of blood, and he was stuck to his mouth were rocks.
Mm.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "O Jibreel, what is this?" And Hazrat Jibreel Amin replied, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what happens to those who eat usury interest. There are those whose tongues will be cut with the scissors of the fire of hell." And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that these are those people who preached good to others,
mm,
but didn't act upon it themselves.
I mean,
so it's easy to say to your children, don't look at the wrong thing, but you then go and do the same. It's easy for me to say to you, you know, don't watch filth on the internet, but if I'm doing it, these are the people who will receive that sort of punishment. Sorry.
I was going to mention, here we're talking about certain punishments for certain crimes, but there's also the batni, the mm-hmm, illnesses of within a person. For example, backbiting, jealousy, having hatred, you know, malice. These are all illnesses that are within people, and unfortunately, when they obviously no control over these things, then they also become a means of punishment in the hereafter.
Well, these days, when the boys go to chill, like, even the elders, I've seen it with the elders as well, it's a common trait in our society, and I assume it's in other societies as well, but especially Hindupakia, the Asian, South Asian subcontinent, that when few brothers are sat together, the first thing they've got to do is backbite, and then the second thing they've got to do is tarnish other people's reputations. That's common. You know, and that is almost like no mehfil. Mehfil sajati nahi hai, you know, without this, yeah? They think that this is how you decorate a mehfil. You have a laugh and a joke at somebody's expense and you backbite people. And people will list things in their head saying, when I meet my mates tonight, we're going to talk about this person and that person, I'm going to say this. And half of it is made up and half of it may have some truth which they haven't investigated. Hadith Mubarakah from Bukhari and Muslim Sharif both. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saw people with copper nails with which they scratched their own faces and their chests. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam asked, who are these, O Jibreel? He replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the ones who ate the flesh of people, i.e. they were backbiting and tarnishing their reputation. Now the Quran says that whoever backbites eats the flesh of his dead brother. And these are some of the horrific punishments of the fire of hell.
One of the biggest problems in our Muslim society is that the education of specifically this subject of hellfire is near to nowhere. We never hear it or see it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That it's almost...
You know, the only one place, and I feel happy, that the only one place we hear it is on Madani Channel. You know, when Amir al-Sudat says that this act, for example, missing namaz is haram or jahannam mein le jane wala kaam, he repeats this. And this, whilst we're watching it, we understand and we take it in. But what it's doing, and it's the suhbat of the awliya, they are keeping us conscious of the fire of hell.
But this is a major teaching and a major part of Islam and a major teaching of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the world, say, for example, there's an electric box and it doesn't have any warnings on it. You might have decided to have a play around with it. But if you've been warned in clear terms that if you touch that, it could lead to disastrous consequences, and then it's explained to you, you could burn your brain out, you could be disabled, all these things are explained to you, don't even go near it, this is all the precautions you need to take. You wouldn't even go, you think, that's at that end, I'm not even going into that room. Yeah? This is why this is important. Now, for example, missing salah. Now, in the olden days, you will know from our pious predecessors that if somebody missed their salah, namaz qaza ho gayi, right? You know, like we go to each other's house to offer condolences if somebody's passed away. They used to go to the person.
That, I was reading it. It wasn't just namaz qaza. If they had to miss jamaat for a valid reason,
Allah.
If they missed Jamaat for a valid reason, they would go and do afsos. They would read Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. This was a time, this was the golden time of that Sufism.
And that person would cry so much that the books say that you could see the marks of the tears that, how, you know, I've missed my Namaz or I've missed my Jamaat. And yet today, if you lose a tenner, you think, where? I went there. But somebody misses their salah, they don't flinch an eyelid. Mm. And the next hadith in Mubarakah is in relation to that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that, you know, today we don't think about it much, but Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a difficult hadith in Mubarakah. Honestly, it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up because we don't realize, we don't realize the importance. A person neglecting his salah, even though he makes up for it later, shall remain in hell for a period of one hukub. And that hukub is what you referred to earlier, which is equal to 80 years of 360 days each, and a day in Akhirah shall be equal to 1,000 years of this world. So it is a very long time. The one who, you know, casually misses his namaz. I mean, this world that is massive. You know, one angel, it can carry mountains on its wings. And you've got 5 billion angels, almost 4.9 billion angels chaining it down and holding the fire of hell. You've got valleys in the fire of hell which are scared. The valleys are so scary that it's scaring the hell itself. Oh. And it begs the in the court of Allah, save me from this valley which is within me. You've got levels that are so deep that it takes 70 years for a stone that's dropped to reach the bottom of it. It is so dark, it is so horrific. And you can hear the screams of the people of hell. All of this is going on. Would you want to be associated with anything like that? Because there's a hadith in Mubarakah that really in relation to Salah, brings it home. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the name of a person who neglects even a single obligatory Salah intentionally is written on the gate of Jahannam, hell, which he must enter. So when you think, oh, namaz, chaligi, it doesn't matter, or I can't be bothered, your name has been written on the door of Jahannam?
Allahu Akbar. It comes into mind, you know, there's a mountain, Jabal-e-Ir, who used to have malice, jealousy against the Prophet and that mountain will be the door of the fire of hell. And just looking at that, you can see that mountain in the dunya. That mountain, just looking at it, scares a person. It's horrific.
Allah.
And so, you know, his name being carved onto the door of hell, that will be on that specific mountain somewhere.
What about those who constantly, you know, nauzubillah, miss their salah day in, day out? Their names being plastered all over Jahannam. And for each salah that they've missed, they have to spend 80,000 years. Then, you know, some people take it lightly, like you said earlier, but I mean, when you burn a match, yeah, and you know, the reality check is light a match and just touch it with your fingers like that. You know, these things, we'll be able to handle it. You can't even handle a matchstick, yeah, you burn a matchstick.
And that's the fire of this world as well.
Which is, even at its hottest, and that's not the hottest, but even at its hottest, it's 70 times cooler than the lowest temperatures in hell.
I wanted to just mention something as well, where Shiraz Bhai mentioned about, you know, people being deprived of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And one was in relation to a person who backbites a faqih, you know, a scholar.
Allah.
And it's mentioned that on the Day of Judgment, it would be written on his face that this person is deprived of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Mm-hmm. And that's how important it is, you know, to love the scholars, to be respectful to them, because, you know, that is one thing that on the Day of Judgment, everybody will know the people who disrespected scholars in this world, and they'll be deprived of Allah.
See, there is this tabqa. I know we haven't got time to go into this in detail. I think Havasab and I covered this in one of the other programs. There is this satanic encouragement and trap and plan to try and corrupt people. Why? Because what people do is they very easily go for the scholars. And they say, you know, oh, he did this, he did that, and they expect them all to be angels, and then they portray them, you know. And what it is this. It's a very simple trick of the shaitan, the scholars, right? If I am going to get hidayah, if I'm going to be shown the right way by you because you're a madniya, and mashallah, Allah has blessed you, what the shaitan will do is try and keep me away from you, right? So the shaitan will try his best, so he'll bring in mind, Shiraz Bhai is like this, Shiraz Bhai is like that. Oh, he doesn't know this, he doesn't know that. You're trying. So gradually, over time, he will instill enmity in my heart towards you, malice towards you. And I won't know where it's come from, jealousy towards you. Then what he'll do is he'll try and take me away from you. So next time I sit down with Bisharat Bhai, what I'll do is I'll say, oh, that guy, you know, Tiyadim Adniya, like, and he's this, this, and this, and this. And I'll go, oh, all it is that A, you were inviting me to the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, and maybe I wanted my desires of the world, so I didn't want to give him up, so I thought, this guy, bar bar nikini dawat dena, ya rabbi, enough of him, and I'm doing it. Or the waswasas of the shaitan have taken over, and that's what the reality is. And this is why you get this big movement towards the scholars of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now how unfortunate, but kismet is that shakhs, yeah? Who not only is indulged in sin, but part of his sins involve backbiting, tarnishing the reputation of, and defaming those people who are working for the deen of Rasulullah.
Remember, you know, in the Hajj season, there's a dua that we perform in Hajj, where we say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, give izzat to our Kaaba. Give izzat to our Kaaba. Now, it's like... a person understands it, the more izzat our Kaaba has, the more izzat we have. Because we're worshipping towards that. So the more izzat the Kaaba has, the more izzat directly we have. Because that is our Qibla, our Kaaba. The same way, you know, if we make that dua, that Ya Allah give izzat to our Imam Sahib, that's how much izzat we'll have as well, because he is our Imam. We are reading namaz behind him. So rather than going against and, you know, saying this about him, hide his faults and do dua, Ya Allah give izzat to our Imam Sahib, and keep doing this, you know, in your duas. Because the more izzat he will have, the more izzat you will have. And then the rest of the...
What annoys me, Shahid Bey Shiraz Bey, is this. That there are, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, you know, there are thousands of scholars in this country, in all countries. In Pakistan, there are more Hafiz-e-Quran, there are more Alim-e-Deens than there are mosques, you know. And this is how amazing, alhamdulillah, this is the service that hard people like Amir al-Sunnah, Dawud Barakatum al-Aliyah, who helped produce thousands of Madanis, yeah, that they work hard. And yet, one ignorant comes along and tries to dismiss it all in one clean sweep, like a foolish person. And the reality is that yes, there may be, out of these hundreds and thousands of scholars of the Deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there might be weak ones like me. I'm not a scholar, I wish I was, but you know, who made a mistake. But you know, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him his mistake, and if he's made a mistake, he will repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. But who are you to judge him, first of all? But more importantly, who are you to defame him so that it puts people off from the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Because this is what is important. Our youngsters these days, they stay away from the mosque. Why? Because when we come home, when we start to chat in the home, we say, Molana's done falam, Molana did this, Molana. So we've got a generation of children growing up having this enmity in their heart towards the scholars of the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And finish that, when he goes off the rails, you know, Khalid Bhai says this many times, they bring him in and they say, Iski samjhaoji bande na putr bana. Well, you've already instilled in his mind to stay away from the masjid, stay away from the imam, stay away from the scholars, stay away from the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now that he's turned your life upside down, I just say, you know, today have you remembered?
You hear them so phrases which is, Maulviya is not the Maulvi Parish.
Yeah.
Things like that, which is very, very unfortunate. I wanted to mention, in the Hellfire as well, there's going to be dogs, vicious dogs, and it talks about backbiting. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's been narrated by Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that refrain from backbiting people or else the dogs of hell will bite you.
Allah Akbar. There are some people who will have faces like dogs, faces like monkeys, and they will be in different forms. Viewers of Madni Channel, hell is factual, it's a reality, and we're going to, unfortunately, if we disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla and his beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world, we're going to have to deal with it. And we can't deal with it, we don't have the power. You know, in this world, if the light goes off, we get scared. So how are we going to deal with this, such horrific and terrifying conditions? Boiling water will be poured over the heads of the Jahannamis, and it will cause their outside and inside to melt. The inmates of hell will be hit with iron rods. Dogs will be let loose on them. They will be in jungles. They will be eating cactuses. Their water will be blood and pus. The dwellers of hell will be burnt daily 70,000 times, and every time they're burnt, their skin will renew. You know, and those who were in this world intoxicated in the fire of hell, a drunk card will be given, blood, pus, sweat, and filth of the people of hell to drink. Those who missed their namaz, we've already heard, will be punished severely. Those who disobey their parents will be punished severely. We know this is factual. You've got a very short life. Protect your iman. That is the greatest treasure. Protect your salah. Read the Quran. Because this life is very short. And whether you go to the gardens of bliss or you go to the terrifying torment of hell is your choice. Salu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala. على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
Now, our social issue topic today is a very interesting one, because alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, as Islam regulates every single aspect of the life of a Muslim, Also, what Islam prohibits is free mixing with non-mahrams, going on dinner dates, going, giving gifts to non-mahrams, people you don't know, people that you can do nikah with, and they are not your wives, you know. And Islam completely keeps us away from all this filth, such as exchanging messages, etc., and expressing your love to those you don't know. But the shaitan and his disciples have come up with a new way of encouraging us. And that new way comes in different forms, especially with the advent of social media and everything else. It's made it much easier. In the olden days, you had to go out and do the ghuna. You had to go out and try and meet the non-mahram people. You had to go out and, you know, go and commit the sins outside. Today, it's in the luxury of your own home, in your bedrooms, etc., with video chats and everything else. I won't go into that. But if that wasn't enough, then added to that, we have the, the curse of, the lanat of these things like Valentine's Day, where, you know, Muslim youngsters, encouraged by the shaitan, and it's directly by the shaitan, to give gifts to, you know, people they like, both brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. And it's almost like, well, you could normally, it's not permissible to go out and to start to chat up people or to text them or to send them letters or send them flowers or send them gifts. But on this particular day, it's all forgiven. No, that isn't it. And the consequences of this, some brothers, you know, they think that, oh, well, it doesn't matter, it's a bit of fun. But the reality of this is, and this, you know, is that on these days, hotel bookings go up, and the whole world of grave sins opens up. Let me start with Shirazbe. Shirazbe, this concept of Valentine's Day, where does it fit in to the Islamic concept of Haya?
So, Rumba is, I think it's not one of those topics where no one's familiar of. Everyone knows it's something wrong, especially in Pakistani Muslim households. We know this concept is wrong. The question is that why do we find it so easy to do? And it's, Harumba, if you take it, understand it, you know, if you take one step back and if you look at it like this, if a child tells, or his father finds out that, you know, he's talking to a girl, father doesn't say much, okay? He'll probably say, okay, putar, don't do this. And then he'll carry on with his work. But now that same child says, Abuji, I'm going to marry this girl. Now the father's ears stand up. What's he on about here? And now it gets serious. So before, when it was haram, father wasn't as concerned. But now he wants to make it halal. Now father's concerned. So now this has become a problem. That you could look at it from many different aspects, that why youngsters do this and why they, you know, make it not halal for themselves, but they justify it. And then why the fathers or the households, they forbid the halal nikah, but they allow the relationship.
Well, that's a good point you make, because there are some people who, in their household, they've got daughters, they've got sons, and when it comes to days like this, they can see that somebody's given their daughter a gift, somebody's given their son a gift, and yet they don't even question it. I mean, there's a hadith of Mubarakah, and it really puts things into context. And, you know, Dawat Islam, one of the roles of Dawat Islami in today's society, and alhamdulillah, Allah, by the blessings of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given Dawat Islami a position where, you know, it teaches you what Islam is and what moral standards you should have. Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala reports that a young man came to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asks a question which was outrageous. You know, he's come to the court of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, O Messenger of Allah, give me permission to commit adultery. I mean, how outrageous is that? The companions are so upset, they want to take his head off. You know, how dare he? You're in the court of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you ask such a question. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calms them down and says, come and sit next to me. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks some amazing words of wisdom, which for us is an amazing lesson. Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that would you like that for your mother? And he replies, no, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may I be sacrificed for you? I'm reading the words of the Hadith of Mubarakah. May I be sacrificed for you? I would not like it for my mother. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, neither would the people like it for their mothers. Raka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't stop there. The point is there. Next, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, would you like it for your daughter? He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may I be sacrificed for you? I would not like it for my daughter. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, neither would the people like it for their daughters. Would you like it for your sister? And the man replied, no, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may I be sacrificed for you? I would not like it for my sister. And the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, neither would the people like it for their sisters. And then, would you like it for your aunts? And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, I would not like it for my aunts. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, neither would the people like it for their aunts. Then placing the blessed hand of rahmat, the blessed hand of mercy, the blessed hand of every blessing that you can think of onto this man, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Ya Allah, forgive his sins, purify his heart, and guard his chastity. And thereafter, the Sahaba Ikram say that we never saw this young man commit sin again.
Subhanallah.
The lesson is this. You know, the person that you give the Valentine's card to is somebody's daughter, is somebody's sister, maybe somebody's mother. Would you like your mother, your sister, your daughter to be the person who receives it? Would you like somebody to give your daughter a box of chocolates on Valentine's Day? Would you like somebody to send your daughter or your sister? And you know, viewers of Madinah channel are thinking, you know, this is direct attack. It's not me. I'm taking it directly from the Hadith Mubarakah. I've got a learned scholar in front of me who's here to stop me if I get it wrong. But what we learn from this amazing reply that the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave is when you're looking at other people's sisters, daughters and mothers, then how would you like it if somebody was doing the same with your sister, your mother, your daughter or your aunt? Those are the examples used by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now just ask yourself, if you're going to give a gift to somebody's daughter, somebody's sister or somebody's mother, how would you feel? And I'm not asking that question, it's your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking that.
You know, in our Jummah khutbah, we have the sentence, اِعْمَلْ مَا شِدَّ كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ, that do as you wish, you will get what you give. Okay? You will get what you give. So karma, basically. Whatever you do, you know, for every effect.
Yes, he can never see.
So now, there's a story where a woman, her husband was a jeweler. And the woman that day, when the husband came home, the woman was unhappy. And she said to the husband that you've touched a girl today. And he was shocked. How does she know? And she says that because today a guy tried to hold my hand.
Allah,
so straight away I've realized that you must have tried to hold someone else's hand. And he says that yes, whilst I was putting jewelry on some woman's arm, I felt like touching her. And so exactly this is the karma, that he tried to touch someone's hand, but at home he didn't realize that someone else is trying to touch his wife's hand.
Well, that's a very important concept, that, because if you go out and you look at other people's daughters and you expect that nobody will look at your daughter, it's not going to work. In Islam, all the women, apart from your own spouse, there are your sisters, your mothers, or your daughters.
In
that's what Islam teaches.
Allah Ta'ala orders, you know, commands modesty, like in Surah Nur, verse ayats number 30-31. Allah Ta'ala commands the Muslim men to keep their gaze low and protect their private organs. That is much purer for them. Indeed, Allah is aware of their deeds, and Allah commands the Muslim women to keep their gazes low and protect their chastity. So here we're learning that Allah Ta'ala is commanding us, you know, to protect ourselves, and you know, commanding the men and the women to protect themselves. But fortunately, we fall into a time today where, you know, astaghfirullah, we're not looking at the Quran anymore. And you'll find even within our communities that these sort of things, that you might think, okay, we live in a Western country and these sort of things happen. you'll go into our communities and you'll find that, you know, our shops are selling these cards, our shops are putting these flowers.
The jewelry shops are busy at the moment.
The jewelry shops are busy, etc. And, you know, even parents don't batter an eyelid when the son comes home with a ring, you know, and, you know, I've just bought this, you know, and I'm thinking of giving it to, they'll show it to the mothers, they'll show it to the sisters. And it's something within society that needs to be embedded. Unfortunately, we've moved away from what the Quran is teaching us, what the Hadith Mubarakah is teaching us. And unfortunately, this is why we find that, you know, then with the times where karma was instant, here, unfortunately, even if karma is happening, we're not taking any heed.
But it's taking, you know, hundreds of pounds, this young man who hasn't got a proper job. And, you know, whenever the parents say, "Beta, you know, we need this money." "Oh, I haven't got any money. I just earned this much and I worked this many hours a day. And how can I do this?" And yet he's spending hundreds of pounds on this, girlfriend. And he's buying her rings and buying her cards and taking her to dinner. And one night he's spending hundreds of pounds. And that is leading him to the hell that we've spoken about. And yet, if he'd spent a tenth of that on his parents and they had become happy with him and given him dua, then not only would his world be bliss, not only would his earnings increase, because the dua of the parents increases your earnings, but also he'd be on the road to Jannah.
I was going
to
say,
he'd get married as well.
Nikah is the means of your sustenance to be increased.
SubhanAllah. You see, this is the beauty of Islam. You know, for all those who are watching out there, Islam allows you to do everything in a halal way and keeps you away from haram. So Islam doesn't say that you can't go to women, but it says do nikah. And Islam's giving you ijazah to do up to four nikahs. You know, and this is the beauty of Islam. And this is what, you know, Islam teaches us. Yet, Allah Ta'ala says, this is the halal way. You can go and enjoy yourself. You can do everything else. And yet, the ignorant ones say, no, I still want to. You've given me the halal way, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, but I still want to go down the haram. It's like saying, you know, and there's a hadith in Mubarakah where on the night of Mi'raj, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw people who, in front of whom there was nice, clean meat. And they were leaving that. And on the other side, there was really bad, horrific kind of meat with maggots in it and all infestations, and it had gone off badly. And these people were shoving their faces into this meat. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Okay, O Jibreel, what is this?" And he said, "These are the men who have pure, pak, pakiza wives at home, and they go to the women outside." And, you know, today, a lot of people, they are married as well, and they still do this Valentine's rubbish, yeah? And the other thing that our scholars say is this. Even if, a lot of people say, "Oh, it's my wife, so I'll buy her a Valentine's gift." Don't. Why do you have to copy an old, corrupt, pagan practice on this? It's the same philosophy you use for Mother's Day. You know, once a year, some people say, "Oh, Mother's Day, gee, so make your mum happy one day." One day a year it's a Father's Day, one year a day is Wife's Day, one year a day is Children's Day. What does Islam say? Well, Islam says every day is Mother's Day, every day is Father's Day, every day is your wife's day, every day is your children's day. Mm-hmm. Treat them beautifully every day. Islam isn't a part-time religion that says when you feel like it, you do this, and when you don't feel like it, you do another. No, Islam is a full-time, beautiful deen that regulates your life so amazingly that it makes not only your life bliss, your grave a garden of paradise, and leads you to the road to Jannah. You know, a lot of these people, they waste their lives on these things. I think it was a narration about Hazrat Fuzail bin Iyaz, rahmatullah alayhi, and he was in love with some woman. And in the night, just to catch a glimpse of her, he used to go and stand outside in the cold and wait for her to come to the rooftop so he could catch a glimpse of her. And one night, he spends all night waiting and she doesn't come out. And in the morning when the adhan is called, suddenly, you know, it dawns upon him that I've spent my entire life just to catch one glimpse of this person, and my Lord Allah Azza wa Jalla I've been ignoring all my life. And he does true repentance and he turns, becomes a great Bali of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And you know, this is what we're doing, aren't we? The amount of effort that we put into trying to attract non-mahrams, trying to please these non-mahrams, the gift we try to buy. Honestly, if we put that amount of time and effort into pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, not only would our world be successful, but everything. You know, we'd have a life of bliss. I have to leave it there. I've only got a few minutes left for Madani Recharge. Salu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. and what you are after.
Now, we were talking about this, you know, love of this world, and a lot of the time it isn't love, it is lust. But let me tell you a true love story. There is a young man in Mecca, and he is the best dressed man in Mecca. His mother is one of the richest ladies in Mecca, and this young man falls in love. And his love story is so amazing that it will bring tears to your eyes. Because when he falls in love, his mother says, that how dare you fall in love? I want my clothes back. You know, he used to smell so fragrant that the street he went down, people used to say, the street smells so fragrant, it must have been Umar, radiallahu ta'ala, who's walked down this street. But he falls in love, and his mum says, how dare you fall in love? No way. I want everything back. And he says, mother, you can have everything. Love had truly blinded him in the good sense. Why? Because he fell in love with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was such a beautiful love. His mother takes everything off him and he says, I'm not bothered. He became one of the first people to migrate in the way of Islam. I think, from recollection, he went to Abyssinia and then he returned. And you know, on his return, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him coming, he's wearing rags. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the tears start to flow down the cheeks of the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The beloved Habib, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says that this was that Umar who was the best dressed man in Mecca.
Subhanallah.
And look what my love has done to him today.
Aye.
He's wearing rags. He's got nowhere. His mother was one of the richest women in the world. His fragrances used to be imported at that time. And look what my love has done to him. And you know, in the battle of Uhud Sharif, he was martyred. And this is a young man who had maybe hundreds of dresses. There wasn't enough cloth to give him kafan. But the biggest gift that he had was he had the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, crying for him. And when a kafan, a piece of cloth is brought for Hazrat Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, the lion of Allah azawajal, this amazing Sayyidul Shuhada, the leader of the martyrs, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, give part of that to my Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala. Now those words of my Mus'ab is everything. That is true love. Don't look for these little love stories here. Build a love story between you and that beautiful Habib in Medina Park. And you'll be successful in this life and in the hereafter. May Allah azza wa jal give us true love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.